In Digging for Truth, Brian Windahl reveals the archaeological evidence for biblical characters and events to remind us that what we read in the Bible has a clear historical connection. Here now is Brian Windahl.
Today we're going to look at Daniel. What is the archaeological evidence that Daniel lived in the 6th century in Babylon? Because there are some people who would suggest that that's not the case. Liberal theologians believe that it wasn't actually written by Daniel in the 6th century BC, as the book itself claims in Daniel 9:2 and Daniel 10 verse 2, but rather that it was written by somebody hundreds of years after Daniel, actually during the 2nd century, during the Maccabean revolt, just in order to encourage the rebels. Why would liberal theologians suggest this? Primarily because of the stunning, accurate prophecy that is contained within the book. Liberal theologians and liberal scholars don't accept the supernatural, and so it couldn't have been written, they say, in the 6th century, but because of the stunning nature of the prophecy, it had to be written after the Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Greek, and Roman empires came about. They also don't accept some of the miracles in the book, such as the three men in the fiery furnace, Daniel in the lion's den. But Jesus expressly stated that these were Daniel's prophecies in Matthew 24:15. In fact, the familiarity with the history and the culture of the Babylonians is completely accurate within the book of Daniel. It's exactly as you would expect from someone writing in the 6th century who was living in that place. See, Daniel is actually recording actual historical events. Archaeologists have been to the places described in Daniel and have excavated them archaeologically. The city gates of Babylon, through which the exiles from Judah would have entered, have been excavated. Nebuchadnezzar's palace has been found, including the throne room where much of Daniel chapter 1 takes place. The temple of Marduk has been excavated, where Nebuchadnezzar would have taken the vessels that he took from the temple in Jerusalem and placed. The citadel of Susa, which figures in Daniel chapter 8, has been excavated. In 2015, 200 cuneiform tablets from Babylon went on display at the Bible Lands Museum in Jerusalem, and they gave a stunning glimpse into the life of the Judahite exiles there in Babylon. They describe taxes paid and rental agreements and inheritances. They weren't slaves, but rather state dependents who retained their identity as a group while in Babylon. This is all in keeping with what Jeremiah predicted when he told the exiles to build houses, settle down, plant gardens, marry, have sons, carry on your way of life. Individual stories within the book of Daniel are confirmed through archaeology. Who can forget the giant image that Nebuchadnezzar erected in Daniel chapter 3? Is there archaeological evidence for this image that was placed in the plains of Dura? Well, perhaps. The Wadi Brisa inscription of Nebuchadnezzar says this: "Beside my statue as king, I wrote an inscription mentioning my name. I erected it for posterity. May future kings respect the monument, remember the praise of the gods inscribed thereon. O Marduk, my lord, do remember my deeds favorably. May my name be remembered in future days." It seems that Nebuchadnezzar did erect statues of himself throughout his empire. Moreover, French archaeologist Julius Oper discovered 6 miles south-southeast of the ruins of Babylon a row of mounds in the plain which bear the inscription Dura. One particular mound was a square 6 meters high with a basis of 14 meters, built wholly out of mud bricks. He proposed that it was a statue base. What about the men who were thrown into the fiery furnace? Well, in one of the early excavations at Babylon, a strange building was discovered, which initially appeared to be a firing kiln, much like those used to fire bricks and pottery. However, a cuneiform inscription revealed the purpose of the structure. It said, quote, "This is the place of burning where men who blasphemed the gods of Chaldea died by fire." This is not to say that the book of Daniel is without its critics. In fact, critics used to point to Daniel chapter 5 as sure proof of the inaccuracy of the book. Ancient historians Berossus and Abedinus recorded that Nabonidus was the last king of Babylon. And yet in Daniel chapter 5, just before the fall of Babylon to the Medo-Persians, It says that Belshazzar was king. Clearly, there must be a mistake, right? In fact, for years, there were no references to Belshazzar outside of the Bible. But then, an inscription was found that recorded that Belshazzar was the son of Nabonidus, and that Nabonidus had left Babylon to worship a different god in Arabia for 10 years. In his place, reigning as co-regent, was his son, Belshazzar. Two of the inscriptions read like this: "May it be that I, Nabonidus, king of Babylon, never fail you, and that my firstborn Belshazzar worship you with all his heart." This came from the Nabonidus cylinder, which was found in a temple that he had erected. Another inscription talks about him passing his authority over to his son Belshazzar. It says, "Putting the camp under the rule of his oldest son, the firstborn, he," that is Nabonidus, "entrusted the authority of the royal throne to him." This explains why Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 5, verse 7, can only offer Daniel the third highest position in the land if he could read the writing on the wall, because he was co-regent and there were already two people reigning in Babylon. Now, time and again, what we see in the book of Daniel is that these are real people and real events in a real place and time in history. And they have been confirmed time and again by archaeology. The Bible itself is historically accurate when it describes periods in history like the one in which Daniel lived. If you'd like to learn more about Bible archaeology, I encourage you to go to the Associates for Biblical Research's website at BibleArchaeology.org.
You've been listening to Brian Windle with Digging for Truth, a program that presents solid archaeological evidence for biblical characters and events, helping us make links between Scripture and history. To contact Brian, send an email to hopestreamradio@gmail.com and put "digging" in the subject line.